You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to Argyle Chat, the Plymouth Argyle podcast brought to you by the Herald Sports Desk.
Hello and welcome to Argyle Chat, where we will look back on a hard-earned point for Plymouth Argyle in their 1-1 draw at Fleetwood Town on Saturday. Joining me to discuss that game and so much more is Chris Errington. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Stu.
And Jack Ball. Hi, Jack.
First time on here for a while. Hello.
Yeah, hello. How are you?
Yeah,
mate?
Welcome back, Jack.
So then, guys, you're both up at Fleetwood enjoying your quizzes and your beers and your fish and chips and everything else, and a point as well for Argyle. Chris, is it a point gained or two dropped, would you say?
A point gained, yeah. It was a tough game. Fleetwood, I was quite impressed with Fleetwood, to be honest. I thought John Sheridan, the former manager, Argyle manager, would have them fired up, and they gave Argyle a really good a good test and a good examination. Thought Argyle started the game well. They got the goal through Moses McCarthy. It was an excellent build-up and an excellent finish, and that put them in a good position. But probably for the last 20 minutes of the first half and the first 20 of the second, Fleetwood did play well. They caused Argyle problems. Argyle probably were a bit more open than I expected them to be. You know, once they got 1-0 up, they certainly didn't go into their shells and try and defend that lead. They were looking for more goals. When Paddy Madden equalised, poor goal to concede. But when he equalised in the 56th minute, you're thinking, well, you know, Fleetwood have got the momentum with them. But I thought Argyle saw the game out pretty well at the end. There was a couple of handball shouts. I've not seen any replays. Have you, Jack,
no,
of the
not
penalty
much,
incidents? My gut feeling was at the time that both penalty appeals for Fleetwood. I thought the first one didn't look a penalty to me. Second one could have been, but you know, without sitting, saying as I'm sitting on the fence, Jack and I were probably halfway inside the opposite half. It was a bit difficult to tell. John Sheridan thought both were penalties. He probably
Derek
would
Adams
do.
Didn't.
Derek Adams didn't. He probably would do.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm not sure you can really gauge too much from the manager's feelings. In the end, you know, I think in the circumstances, because I've not touched on Sonny Bradley and Anthony Sarsavic being out, having two key players out,
yeah,
a long way away from home against the team that, you know, to me, I mean, Jack can discuss this maybe, but I looking at Fleetwood on Saturday, I don't understand why they're 21st on the table. I really don't. They've got some really good attacking players. So I think all in all, good point.
And we're at that stage of the season as well where, you know, teams down at the bottom are good. You know, look at Rochdale, for example. Mm. Go to Rotherham and getting a really good 1-0 win. You are going to get those shock results this season. So whatever Argyle can pick up against those sort of teams, it's obviously
new manager Bounce, Sheridan,
exactly.
Paddy Madden has got a good scoring record against Argyle. You know, he scored both two goals for Scunthorpe against them earlier in the season, and then again on Saturday. So I don't know. What did you think?
I was saying to Chris after the game, you know, you look at their strikers. You've got Paddy Madden, you've got Conor McElhaney, you've got Ashley Hunter, you've got Burns and Huulo. Both came on in the 90th minute. I mean, you take most of them in the Argyle team. You know, it's crazy that they're near the bottom four. And that's no disrespect to Ryan Taylor, because he's done a fantastic job for Argyle. But you look at Argyle striking options at the moment, you've got Ryan Taylor, Simon Church and Alex Fletcher.
Yeah.
You compare that to Fleetwood, and if that's all you base it on, you'd think Fleetwood would be the ones where Argyle are on
exactly,
the table.
Yeah.
And Argyle would be the ones struggling.
Well, that's just it. I mean, you look at where Fleetwood have come. Chris and I were talking about Fleetwood earlier on, weren't we, in the office. And, you know, it wasn't so long ago. They were getting crowds of 100, 200. They're in the non-league. Mm. But obviously, they've got so much money behind them now. They can afford to buy the likes of Paddy Madden for 150 grand, and you think what he's going to be on in terms of contract as well.
And that's the thing, and, you know, they've taken Diago Arga up there as well. It wasn't even in the team, and you know, we know how well he did at Argyle. And you just think that out of all the teams down there, I think John Sheridan has landed on his feet in terms of getting Fleetwood, because he should be able to keep them up.
Yeah.
I think it's a cliche, isn't it? Getting any points on the road is great if you can win at home, and Argyle keep that unbeaten run going. Only one loss in 16, I think it is now, against John Sheridan, and I think all in all, everyone, and there was a spell in that second half where I thought Fleetwood were going to go on and get a second goal before Argyle calmed down a bit, and So at the end, I was relieved that we got a point, and like I said, it builds nicely for the Bristol Rovers game this weekend.
Chris, you mentioned about Argyle being quite open. Do you think that's just a result of the confidence in the team at the moment?
Yeah, and Derek Adams sort of said that he thought that counted against them a little bit, you know, in the way the game went. But yeah, when you've won six games in a row, you're confident, and you take an early lead against Fleetwood, a team that had been struggling. Mm. You know, why wouldn't you sort of be confident and look to get further goals? You know, the full-backs, certainly Oscar Threlkeld and Gary Sawyer, were pushing forward well. They weren't sort of sitting at the back. So, no, they played quite well that first 20-25 minutes. There was a, you know, contentious moment where Derek Adams felt there should have been a red card for Fleetwood's Louis Coyle. He went in pretty heavy on Ruben Lemires, didn't he, Jack? Mm. Referee deemed it a yellow card rather than a red card, I think. Probably that was the right decision.
Ruben Lemires, like Catherine Wheel, he was spinning up in the air before he landed back on the floor.
But again, if there'd been a red card there, for example, you know, 1-0 up against 10 men for 75 minutes, you know. So there was, you know, there was, I wouldn't say either goalkeeper had masses of saves to make, but there was enough chances in the game for both teams. There was enough talking points, penalties, red card, yellow card. It was quite a good game, I thought. It was a good contest between two sides that really went to try and get the win. And why wouldn't they? Because Fleetwood need the wins to move out of the bottom four, and Argyle need the wins to try and keep in the top six.
And also, it's really positive that McCassie's come in and got a goal, because we've spoken about the goals now coming from different areas, and when you're not getting your chance, like McCassie's had to be patient since arriving from West Ham, he's finally got that chance and he's taken his goal well. And again, that's another indication of players having confidence even when they come off, because, you know, it's down to the player to get that position in the starting team, and that's what he needs to do, and that's what he did on Saturday.
Obviously, he scored the goal. How was his all-round performance? Did he fit in well?
No, I think he did quite well, because in the circumstances, like I said, it's hard when you've not played with a team. It must be hard. I mean, I'm not a professional footballer, but it must be hard to come into a team that's been on such a great run of form, because really, you're either going to carry on as you go and sort of, you know, in the same sort of vein, or go downwards, aren't you? So it must be very difficult to come in, but I think he reacted quite well. Anthony Sarcevic, a big shoes to fill.
He's really
come into the fore in the last few weeks. So I think he did well. He looked confident on the ball. He didn't look shy. He was chasing everything. In the first half, I was very impressed with, he did lose it one or two times, but he chased down. He tried to win it back. He closed the Fleetwood players down and kept the pressure on them, which means sometimes they would whack the ball away and lose possession because of his work rate. And when you come in, all you can ask for is you try hard and you work your best. And that, he certainly did that.
Yeah, and a goal to mark his debut, or his Phil debut, as well. As you mentioned Sarcevic there, it doesn't sound good with him, does it, with the injury? We've had put the usual request out for questions, and we've had loads, so thanks to all of you out there that sent questions in. We'll start with one from Lewis, who said, how do you think Argyle would do if Jamie Ness is injured as well as Sarcevic?
Yeah, Jamie Ness went off in the second half, midway through the second half, with what Derek Adams said was a calf injury. And unfortunately, Jamie Ness was out for three months earlier in the season with a calf injury, so we don't know the severity of this latest problem. Hopefully, you know, Argyle got him off before too much damage was done, and it might have just been a bit of a tweak, might be a little bit sore, but nothing too serious. But that's one that we'll chase up as the week goes on with Derek Adams and see what more news he has. But clearly, if Jamie Ness and Anthony Sarcevic were out of the team, that's two of your three centre midfield players. That will leave a big hole.
Yeah.
You know, I was quite impressed with Moses McCarthy. I thought he covered a lot of ground. He did well. You know, I don't, you know, on one game, admittedly, I don't think you'd have any problems with him being part of that three. But you would need Ness and or Sarcevic, you know, in there as well. Derek Adams was not too keen to sort of give us too many details about Sarcevic's injury, but he did talk about an operation. And if you're having an operation on a groin injury, you know, I'm not a medical expert or a doctor, but I would suspect that you're going to miss, if you have a groin operation, you're going to miss most of the rest of the season, and if not all of it. So,
as we say, there's only 8 weeks left now, isn't there?
It's only hard to believe, isn't it, how quickly the season goes. So, so Sarcevic sounds as though that might be could be long term. Ness, we'll wait and find out. But yeah, I mean, if both are out, that's not good, because you can put Moses McCarthy in, but then what are you going to do from there?
I think, you know, Lewis has asked how will Argyle do, and we spoke about this on the way back. Mm. The good thing about Argyle's team is they've got quite a few players that can play in various positions. Threlkeld can play in midfield, for example.
Yeah.
And earlier in the season, you had Gary Sawyer at right back, and Aaron Taylor at left back. They could do that again. The advantage of of the players that Derek Adams has picked is they can play in versatile positions. You've got Songo as well, who can play centre midfield, but of course if Bradley's out, he might still have to play centre back. So having these versatile players is a big bonus, and it does help you in these sort of situations.
You could play Carey, which he did, in the midfield three towards the end of the game, and then you've got Ainsworth and Linares either side of Ryan Taylor. So there are options, but they had Alex Fletcher, Cameron Sangster and Ryan Law.
I think the weakness is when you look at the bench. Really.
So, they're getting a bit low on numbers.
Yeah.
Gary Miller and Simon Church were both injured as well. So if you say Miller, Church, Sarcevic, Bradley didn't play, Ryan Edwards obviously out at the moment as well. If you throw in Jamie Ness as well there, that's a big chunk of your squad gone, isn't it? In quite a short space of time, because they've had such a settled side during the really good run they've had, and the timing of these injuries is not good, is it?
That being said, though, you can say the weakness on the bench, but what better opportunity for these youngsters to try and earn themselves a future Argo? People have criticised Argo in the past for not giving some of these young players game time. If Sangster, Law, or Fletcher do get some game time now, then what a great moment for them to try and push on and try and have themselves a contract.
And Sangster's a player that we know Derek Adams clearly likes, because he's been so public in his praise of Sangster.
And if Nesson Sarcevic is out, he may well get a call up, or if not, he will be one of the first to come on should one of the midfielders that do play end up needing to be removed. And Law, again, we've seen Law a few times for reserve games and whatnot, and he's an exciting prospect, so it's quite encouraging.
Yeah. Question from Richard Sloman. He says, do you think Derek Adams is happy with his medical team? His comments after Saturday suggest he is frustrated at the injury situation and recovery time of the players. Chris, you spoke to Derek, and it did come across that he wasn't too happy with the injury situation at all, was he?
Yeah, he's definitely frustrated. There's no two ways about that. He really didn't want to say very much about the Anthony Sarcevic injury at all. And it's one of these where you ask a question two or three times and address it from a slightly different angle, but you feel like you're getting a flat back to play back at you sort of thing. So you do get limited information. He did say he wasn't pleased about it. Now, you can interpret that in one or two ways. He wasn't going to go any further on it. So, but he's made the point that he's not pleased about the situation. Now, whether that's because, the injury's happened in the first place, whether the injury has been exacerbated by something, I'd only be speculating, but he's not happy. He wasn't happy with the injury situation. But again, why would he? That everything's been going so well recently, and then you go into a game like that without Bradley through what he described as an illness. But again, we don't know too much more than that. And Sarcevic being out injured with a groin injury and facing an operation, he's not going to be happy about that. He's looking at his bench and thinking, crikey, we're getting a little bit short of experienced players. Fleetwood sent on Jordi Herrera and Wes Burns, two decent substitutes, and Argyle were a little bit limited in what they could do. So I wouldn't say that that was necessarily a comment about the medical team. There was definitely frustration. Again, something maybe we can explore later in the week with Derek Adams when we see him next.
It might be worth saying that the medical team have had their work cut out this season.
They've
had a lot of injuries to deal with this season.
If you think of the first few months of the season and now, and it's certainly not been easy on the injury front this season.
They've earned their money.
Yeah, that's right. Another question from Sean. Are Argyle being hampered by consistently poor pitches on their travels and playing well at home thanks to the quality pitch we have? I mean, the performances are there away from home, aren't they?
Argyle haven't lost since, when was it, November?
November the 25th was the last time Argyle lost away from home.
To say Argyle have been hampered, you look at results and you say, no, possibly not. We've got a saving grace of half of our games on the same pitch, which is a good pitch at Home Park. And I think we can take a lot of positives from that. And Derek Adams isn't afraid to change his tactics when you can't play the ball on the ground so much. The pitch at Fleetwood wasn't the best.
No.
The ball, was the pitch was lumpy. The ball was going a few places where they were hoping it wouldn't go. But I don't think it's hampering them too much. I think Derek Adams has obviously worked with them in training, and they know how to deal with those sort of situations. And the players have adapted quite well. There was still some nice football being played at points in the game. And I think the teams that play on these pitches as their home turfs regularly are the ones that are hampered far more than a team that plays on that ground once a season. But you're going to have that in the lower leagues. We haven't had it as much in this league as we did in League Two, for example. Mm. So it's just part and parcel of being a lower league football club at this moment in time.
Yeah, and you see down the road at Blackpool as well, they've had issues with their pitch for years now.
There were some really ropey pitches. I watched the highlights show over the weekend, and the Bury Oldham game was played on something that looked pretty pretty. And it's just, the pitch is a pitch. I mean, it's the same for both sides. You know, you can argue that some teams are used to it, and so that's a slight advantage. But you know, Argyle on their travels, I take Sean's point. You know, the you know, poor pitches don't help. You know, they're lucky to play at home park on such a good pitch as that. But you know, Argyle's away record, they haven't lost away from home since 1-0 defeat at Portsmouth on November the 25th. I mean, you know, I've covered Argyle a long time, and they've not had many runs of more than 3 months with going without an away defeat. So they're doing pretty well away from home, in all honesty.
Yeah, that's right. Jack, I'll put this question to you because obviously you spoke to the man after the game. Ryan's asking, how was John Sheridan with the Plymouth press, given his history at the club? Now, we decided to put you in front of John instead of Danny Salmon. So.
Well, I mean, I'm not sure. I only interviewed John a few times when he was down here. I'm sure he would have recognised Chris, but Chris deals with the Argyle side of things, and I tend to deal with the away side of things. So he probably didn't recognise me, to be fair, as a Plymouth person, but he was no different to what he was like. You know, he was in a rush to leave.
Made me laugh what you tweeted, his first comment.
His first comment to the gathered press was, can we make this quick? I need to shoot off back to Leeds. So and again, speaking to Chris on a long drive back from Fleetwood on Saturday, and this is only his second game in charge. I think he wanted to make a bit of a positive impression. So anyway, he did the radio duties. The Fleetwood correspondent up there for the local paper asked if she could ring him on Tuesday to get the stuff that she couldn't get then, and he darted off. So I didn't get to ask him too much myself. But he was quite happy with what he saw. But he was the same Sheridan that I don't think that he was here, and I don't think fans would be surprised to hear that. I don't think he'll ever change. Yeah. But I think there are worse people that could have got that job than John Sheridan. He's got a history of saving clubs that are struggling when he first gets in there. So it's a short-term deal. I think that's a good fit.
Yeah, I mean, from his point of view, though, it's a great job to have. You know, the resources that are available. If he wants to stay there, he could really kick on next season.
It'd be interesting to see. I mean, he should keep them up. But any manager that gets that team relegated with those players have done
especially
something
if you've got a reputation of being a firefighter, like
very much. I think when it came to Argyle, there was nowhere near the depth and the talent that he's got at Fleetwood now. I think you could say the same when he went to Oldham, and Newport even. I think he's got the best squad that he's had for a long time, and he should keep them up. Now it'll be interesting to see if he does keep them up, as he will be expected to do, whether they'll keep him beyond this season. That'll be interesting. But
I couldn't believe that stat that we again chatting about it with Chris earlier on. Apparently this is Sheridan's fifth job since Derek Adams took charge of Argyle two and a half years ago. I mean, five jobs in 2.5 years.
It's amazing,
incredible.
Isn't it?
Yeah. And I still put it down to the fact he doesn't want to play Argyle at home park. He's still not been back.
He's not been back.
And I'll never
park.
Forget that. Yeah. If I got a chance to ask him a question, I said, can you please come back to home park?
Moving on then, guys. Nathan, if Argyle were to gain promotion to the Championship, how logistically ready will the club be next season?
Yeah, it would be a
million dollar question.
It would be a challenge.
Yeah,
if they were to gain promotion, there's a grandstand about to be redeveloped and expanded. It probably wouldn't be ideal timing, but you know, you'd be foolish to turn down a promotion just on the basis that we're not quite ready because we were doing work on the grandstand. I mean, I think I did see somewhere, you know, it would be a good problem to have, but it would be a problem.
I think Burton-esque would be the way to put it. I think, you know, look at Burton and their resources compared to most are very small. But what I would say to that is, how prepared Ross County for the Scottish Premiership when Derek Adams took them there? You know, very small club, and he did extraordinary things with them.
I mean, Nathan's right. It's the logistically bit, I think, as much as anything. Yeah. I mean, are you ever ready to go up from League One into the Championship? No. Because the step from League One to the Championship is
Well, look
is
at
huge.
Yeovil a few years ago. Look at where they are now.
I think I heard something on the TV the other day that, you know, the central payments from the EFL, if you're in the Championship, it's £6.5 million per club. And if you're in League One, it's £1.5 million. So there's a £5 million difference, you know. So you're going up into that division and you're getting that extra money, but obviously you've got perhaps less to work with than a lot of the clubs in the Championship who've got rich, wealthy foreign owners in many cases. So financially, I don't think you're ever ready. Logistically, you know, there's a lot going on at Home Park at the moment. You know, it's not like they've got four sides of the ground that they could have all open next year and pack people in to see, you know, the big teams in the Championship and get 20,000 crowds. But like I say, I think it would be a good problem to have, but a problem nonetheless.
I'm sure Argyle would find a way of overcoming
you'd,
the problem.
You'd
if
have
it
to,
happens.
You'd, like I say, you just have to make it work as best you could, and you know, you still got three sides of the ground that you know you get as many people in as you can. And
I'm pretty sure it'd be packed out if they did manage to get to the championship. It would be a very interesting time, I think.
Matthew Penny, a similar type of question, really. If the club can hold on to a playoff position come the end of the season, can you see the current squad being strong enough to get promotion, or will Argyle be destined to spend another season in League One and then get a whole new set of players during the close season, because quite a few of the current players will have to go back to their clubs and some will become free agents to find new clubs away from Plymouth?
Oh, that's a good question, isn't it?
It is. I mean, I suppose Derek Adams is probably at that stage where he's looking to rebuild a team to go forward. So you're looking at the likes of, you know, he'll probably want to keep Carey, Bradley, and try and build that spine and keep four or five players perhaps as his spine and then build from there.
Again, it's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
In football, there tends to be bad problems to deal with or good problems, but there's always problems somewhere along the line. It never runs that smoothly. There's a lot of players who are going to be out of contract in the summer. Will they be offered new deals? Do they want to stay? Will they agree deals, you know, financially? Will some players want to go back up north or to different parts of the country, having been down in down in Plymouth for a while? You know, does Derek Adams, you know, see them as being good enough for a top half League One, maybe Championship side? So many, it's plate spinning. Yeah. You know, we don't know. You know, the odds are that Argyle will probably be in League One next season, but you can't, you know, I'm not going to rule them out getting into the playoffs and winning the playoffs. I mean, stranger things have happened in football, haven't they? So you know, you've got to be thinking about that. You know, are they going to be in League One? Which players are you going to keep? You know, if there's a possibility of Argyle being in the Championship next season, then clearly some players that you'd keep in League One might not be ones that you'd necessarily keep if you were in the Championship. It's difficult to plan, and I suppose I don't really know the answers to some of Matthew's questions, because we don't know what division they're going to be in, we don't know what kind of financial offers they'd make to players, we don't know which players they'd want to keep. I mean, we know that say for example Sonny Bradley and Ryan Taylor have both, you know, spoken to us and said they're really loving being part of Argyle, and you know, gave an indication that they'd certainly be very interested in staying, you know. So if the circumstances are right, it's I don't know, Jack, what do you think? It's a difficult one to really call.
Yeah, it's,
I mean, if we were sat here, say, mid-April, and, you know, Argyle aren't going to make the playoffs, and you know they're going to be in League One, then you can speculate a bit more about who might stay, who might not.
I think what we know about Derek Adams is two things. One, he's meticulous in what he does. He will have a plan for both, like he did last season and possibly the season before. And we know as well that he likes to make changes in the summer, doesn't he?
He says before he quite likes refreshing squads in transfer
windows. So I think whether we go up or whether we stay in the league, there'll be quite a few changes in the pre-season. And undoubtedly, it'll take him a bit of time to get used to it. I think he's admitted to us that he didn't realise League One would be as tough as it is. And the Championship will be a learning curve for him as well. And it'll be interesting, though, because there will be players interested. I think the fact that national news outlets are taking interest in Argyle, Derek Adams has done an incredible job. People will be seeing what certain players have done under him, how they've gone to better things. All the likes of Graham Carey, who was virtually unknown, and now he's one of the names that all managers in League One talk about whenever I interview them. He's the name that keeps cropping up. Sonny Bradley as well. You know, I can understand why people want to be part of that. And I think if Argyle getting good crowds, which they've been getting at home, again, that adds to it as well. And I know in comparison to the Championship, it will be down the lower end. But I still think that that's a good opportunity for players to come and be part of something which is Sonny Bradley's admitted as being quite special.
And if you are Sonny Bradley, though, you are going to be wanting parity with some of the top owners at Argyle, I guess.
Absolutely, and this is part of the deal, isn't it? And why it's a difficult one to call. You know, would you like to see Sonny Bradley stay? Yes, and I'm sure he'll get offered a contract. But you know, it's, you know, short career. Finances are important. You know, other offers from other clubs potentially. It's a difficult one to call, and you know, Derek Adams has shown in his time at Argyle that, you know, each transfer window tends to be a fairly major shake-up. You know, even in January, you know, there perhaps wasn't as many players coming in as some people would have liked, and probably Derek Adams would have liked. But, you know, there was, four came in and five or six went. So it was, in the end, it ended up being quite a busy period, and I don't see it being any different. But just while we're sort of talking on contracts and things like that, one thing just to mention is Michael Cooper, the apprentice goalkeeper. signing a 2-year professional contract. And I do think that is good business by Argyle. I've seen him in 4 of the 5 FA Youth Cup games, and I've seen him in a few other games as well. And obviously when he made his first team debut as a half-time substitute at Blackburn Rovers earlier in the season, and I think ability-wise and temperament-wise, he looks to be a very good prospect, the 18-year-old. And there might be a lot of the listeners to the podcast that might not have seen him play, but I do think he has got the potential to be a very good goalkeeper. And I think it's a wise move by Argyle to get him on a 2-year professional contract. In the recent years, Argyle have generally had their apprentices on 1-year professional contracts. So the fact that they've done a deal with Michael Cooper now, before the end of the season, and for 2 years, I think is probably quite telling of how highly they rate him.
Yeah,
so I think that is a good bit of business that Argyle have done.
I think Argyle fans can also take comfort from the fact that, you know, regardless of what league they're going to be in next season, they do seem to have the solid foundation for a strong squad next year. I mean, you and I were talking about David Fox earlier as well, Chris, and what he brings to the team. You know, his experience and know-how. You know, you can see him being a key player for another year or two as well.
Yeah, I mean, I thought David Fox had a good game against Fleetwood on Saturday, particularly in the second half when you felt as though Fleetwood was just trying to get on top, and Argyle were able to, or David Fox was able to get on the ball, calm things down, keep the ball, get Argyle moving forward. And, you know, Stu and I, you know, we were talking earlier this morning in the office, and the thing I wondered about David Fox was going up from League 2 last year to League 1 at 34. I wondered if maybe his lack of pace, you know, athleticism might be an issue. But I actually think he's benefited by League 1 because he's playing with better players against better opposition, better pitches and things like that. And I think he's actually played better this season than he did last year at the higher level. And I think he's done a really good job. And maybe I shouldn't be surprised by that because, you know, he started his career at Manchester United and he played in the Premier League for Norwich City. So he's a good player.
Yeah, he's got a good pedigree.
But I do think in League One, he looks a better player than he did. And he did well in League Two, but I just think he's more sort of...
Well, I've heard it said before that you can play more football in League One.
Yeah.
So that probably explains why he's playing so well. Because if you can play more football in League One, it suits David Fox.
He's an intelligent footballer as well. There was a moment in the Fleetwood game where Fleetwood were really starting to get on top and they were having another one of their breaks where they looked like they could score and they were racing away and David Fox made a professional foul where he brought the player down, knowing full well he would get a yellow card. But it just broke up that play. It allowed Argyle to calm down. And I think possibly had he not done that, they would have conceded or conceded very shortly after because you could see they were getting a bit frustrated, getting a bit worried, working the ball away and not really thinking. And that moment and that bit of intelligence, even though he took a yellow card, settled it for Argyle.
A question from David Parker. Jack, I'll put this one to you because I think you're the only one that saw it. But David's asking, what did the team make of the football focus piece on Argyle that was broadcast on Saturday? I know a lot of fans were dismayed that the BBC seemed to focus on the current state of the club's facilities rather than the team's excellent form, and puzzled why they didn't mention the renovation that's about to get underway. This was in contrast to the positive article that appeared in The Guardian earlier in the week. Any idea why the BBC offered such a negative slant?
Well, firstly, after getting back from Fleetwood, that was one of the first things I did was watch that bit on Football Focus, and first I knew it would be near the end of the show, so fast forward it right to about the 50th minute, and then there it was. And I've got to be honest, when I was watching it, I didn't think of it as being negative in the slightest. Now, I've said many times that before becoming a journalist, I was an Argyle fan. So I'm not being disrespectful when I say this to fans, but sometimes fans want to see everything painted with green-tinted spectacles on and think everything's amazing and fantastic. I actually thought it was quite an interesting feature about the old grandstand. It's not going to be there for much longer. I think it'll be something quite interesting to look back on in future, for example. And I thought Derek Adams came across well. I thought the interviews were quite good. Okay, they didn't mention the new grandstand so much, but they mentioned what they did on the pitch. They looked around the facilities, and it was quite interesting to hear Derek Adams saying he doesn't like working in these conditions. He wants to work in better conditions, and again, it's a sign that the club are moving in the right direction, that they're going to be getting these better facilities. And then after the little segment finished, they went back to the studio, and again, they talked about Argyle's position quite positively. They had tables of where they were when they were bottom of the league. They had the tables of where they were now. So they did talk about their league positioning, and I found it interesting. I didn't find it negative in the slightest. And I can understand why people might think it wasn't as positive as possibly it could have been. But I think it's quite an honest review of, Argyle have done this well with these facilities. And I think that was the sort of angle they were going for. It wasn't because of these facilities. It's despite these facilities. And I think that's an honest summary of how Derek Adams has done this at the club.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the facilities and the new grandstand are so important to the way the club go forward because They don't have the sort of corporate facilities that you see even in League One, elsewhere in League One. So it's...
But the thing is, that wasn't what that wasn't what the feature was about. It wasn't about what's to come. It was a feature on how they've done so well with what they've got.
What they had.
So, you know, Deckhams have spent the whole 5-10 minutes talking about what they've got. We already know what they're going to get. The club have publicised that. No one would have been interested. It's showing the wider world, because let's not forget, this wasn't put out for Argyle fans. This was put out for fans across the country.
I don't know about the club.
And it was just showing what they've done with what they've got. That was the point in the feature. So it wasn't all about the future and the big lights in the distance. Mm.
And the facilities are the facilities. That's the way that Home Park looks at the moment. And it's not looking at its most attractive with, you know, Porter Cabin's been moved here, there and everywhere, and the Green Taverner's tent being moved, and it doesn't look its best. But, you know, hopefully in the not too distant future that will look very different, and Football Focus might come back and do a different sort of piece on the grandstand or whatever. But Jack's right. I mean, Football Focus is for the wider football community, so, you know, they're not necessarily going to go into the nitty gritty of grandstand redevelopment.
And also, it was interesting because they showed them having blood samples, and there was a bit where they took some blood from Gary Sawyer, and he joked, I don't even know how to do that, I just do it to get my DNA, some sort of joke about that, and everyone laughed. And they interviewed Reece Wilmot about the goalkeeping situation earlier on, and how incredible it was, they've had 7 different keepers, and how it's unheard of. So there were different aspects to it, and I thought it was really interesting, and I thought overall it was a good piece, and I think that Argyle came off looking quite good from it.
And Derek Adams at the moment is sort of lapping up all this publicity the club are getting. You know, it's putting the club out there in the national spotlight, and it's only good for him and his career and the future of the club.
Again, a good problem to have. You know, some people say, well, we don't want too much publicity. We don't want clubs coming in for our manager or our best players. But the reality is that
you only get that when you're successful.
Yeah, and the reality is, it doesn't. A Football Focus piece isn't going to really flag up Derek Adams or your players any more than they're already known anyway. You know, within football, people will know about Derek Adams. They'll know about Argyle's best players, and so it is having national publicity a good thing. Of course, it is. Could it alert other clubs to your manager or players? No, I'm not. Really, they'll know already.
As a fan, I'd much rather we've had a promotion and be in the playoffs of the league above than be still struggling along League Two and no one being interested in Derek Adams whatsoever.
It's a good problem to have, isn't it? Exactly. The worst problem is when no one wants to know you.
Yeah, well, and that's why they're here, is because Argyle are doing well. Yeah. So,
and if you've got somebody like the BBC sending Football Focus to all the way down to Plymouth, it doesn't happen very often. No. So the fact that they've done it.
They very rarely even have Soccer Saturday people down here, do they? So, you know, so it just shows how well they're doing.
Yeah,
indeed. Finally then, guys, looking ahead, 10 games to go. Huge game on Saturday now against Bristol Rovers. I bet you can't wait for that one, Jack, being an Argyle fan, West Country Derby.
I'm not working this weekend, so I need to get my tickets sorted, because I'm sure
as Crystal told you, they've sold out.
It's going to be a big demand. I'm looking forward to it. I mean, it's going to be a fascinating occasion. Games between Bristol Rovers and Argyle happen quite regularly. They're normally quite good battles. Two teams are in quite good form. Bristol Rovers, again, there were calls earlier in the season for Darrell Clarke to be sacked after they went from being near the playoffs down to near relegation, and now they're back up near the playoffs again. I think it's going to be a fascinating encounter between two good managers, two good sets of fans. You know, we've got some cracking games coming up, because we've got Portsmouth as well, we've got Rotherham, we've got some...
Chris and I were talking about it, the fixtures coming up are massive, aren't
they? It's fantastic.
Everyone in and around where Argyle are.
And as I said, the reason why it's good in purely football terms is because Argyle did pick up that point on Saturday. They keep their unbeaten run going, and both teams will be going into this game full of momentum, I think. And it's the closest we're going to get to a local derby this season. Now, it's not a local derby, but it's the closest we're going to get with obviously no Exeter. So it's going to be, I think, a really good atmosphere this weekend, and I think there'll be some good football on show.
Yeah, I mean, Rovers have sold all their tickets out, so there'll be about 1,500 away fans in the Barn Park end, which always creates a good atmosphere. Geez, the home fans up to get behind their team. So you're looking at another 10,000 plus crowd. You know, could be a little bit more than 10,000, hopefully, but you know, it'll be a decent crowd. Jack's right about Darrell Clarke. I mean, remember, he's taken Bristol Rovers from the Conference National League into a playoff pushing place in League One. I think he's done a brilliant job at Bristol Rovers. You know, they've got some good players. It's not a derby, but it's as close as we're going to get. Rovers have been a little bit like Argyle. They've been a little bit sort of hit and miss at times, but they seem to be on a pretty decent run at the moment. It's a great game. Then you've got Charlton away the following Saturday, and you know, Peterborough, Rotherham, Scunthorpe on Easter Monday's looming as a maybe a very big game. Rotherham, it's you know, it's an exciting end to the season. And, you know, who'd have thought in December we'd be talking about exciting, important games.
Playoff matches.
For teams that are all up and around the top six. So
It's probably a bigger game for Rovers as well when you look at the league table. I think they're 4 points behind Argyle at the moment. So obviously a win would close that to one, or lose it and it's seven.
We're starting to get those 6 point games. It really is making a big difference. And, you know, they probably wouldn't be unhappy with a draw because it keeps them within touch and distance of Argyle. Yeah. It's going to be an interesting battle, isn't it? And like Chris said, you know, what great way to end the season. We've got some fantastic games with clubs around us, and that's what you want in this type of situation. And to be honest with you, you know, you're going to get fans coming through the gate. They're going to be enjoying it. It's going to be better for Argyle financially. And I think whatever happens, you know, come May, we'll look back and think this has been quite a good season.
Yeah. Just finally, Chris, you mentioned Charlton there a week on Saturday. Do we know yet if that game's definitely going ahead?
We don't. I believe that a decision would have to be made this week if it was going to get called off. One thing I did notice was that one of the reasons Charlton had games called off in international breaks early in the season was they had a young defender on loan from Chelsea, Jay De Silva, who's playing England sort of under 20, under 21 football, I think. And he's picked up an injury and gone back to Chelsea from his loan spell. So that's one of the players that Charlton had games called off for because he was unavailable. He's no longer there. So I'm thinking it's looking likely that Argyle's game against Charlton on that Saturday might go ahead as planned, which I think everyone would be happier about rather than playing on a Tuesday night. So, but I think they'd have to make an announcement sometime this week if it was going to get moved. So again, that's one to keep your eyes peeled on the website. We'll have any details of any change or if indeed it's going ahead as planned.
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks a lot, guys, for joining me on the podcast. That's all we've got time for this week. Thanks to you out there for listening as well. We'll be back same time next week with more of the same. Bye-bye.
We are always happy to hear from you, and if you have any questions for our panel, please tweet them to our Twitter account, @HeraldPAFC, or visit our Facebook page, Plymouth Argyle The Herald. Thanks for listening.